store up treasures in heaven. This is a teaching that Holy Ghost is wanting us to hear so that we can understand what those treasures are, how we are to store them, and what we are not to store up. First of all, when we look at that scripture, the one that most of us are very familiar with, let's go to Matthew 6, 19 to 20. And Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, that word treasure in the Greek actually means a receptacle for valuables. That's what we are storing up. That is what we are ourselves for Him. We are a receptacle for valuables. What is the greatest value that we contain? The indwelling Spirit of the living God, which makes us one with God, which by the blood of Jesus and His sacrifice, we now are privileged to possess. These treasures are not just a lack of material wealth. We're not to look to try to not have material wealth. We're also not to ever chase it. But the treasure that we contain is our love for Him, our thoughts towards Him, our desires to fulfill the call He's made us for, our love for others. These are our treasures that we store up, our casting out the net so that the fish can be caught and people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. So many treasures that we are to lay up for Him. We are not laying up treasures for ourselves. We are laying up treasures for Him. And why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If our treasures are in personal gain, self-interest, our own fulfillment of our own desires, our heart will be small in Him. Because we will have a particular agenda, a particular goal, a particular idea that we want to achieve that is not His treasure, but ours. We are to lay up treasures. We are to be a receptacle for valuables for God Almighty. Let's go to Luke 9, 23 to 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" So how are we to lay up treasures in heaven? By our own means, by our own efforts, by our own striving? By exhausting ourselves? No! If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is how we lay up treasures in heaven. By following Christ. By being led by His very Spirit. If we lay up treasures on earth, it makes us married to the world. And in John 15:19-20, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." We know loving the world makes us at enmity with God, as if we are an enemy of Him. Because who loves this world? Who wants to keep us attracted to this world? Who uses what is in the world to ensnare us? Our enemy. And if we fall in love with the world, we are then aligned with Him. In the first epistle of John, the second chapter, 15-17, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The love of the Father is not in him. That is so shocking. We think we can play games or compromise or have a little over here, but then over on this side we'll serve God. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. That means if we love our lives unto death, if we're not willing to die for our faith, we love the world or the things of the world, our own lives. He says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we don't have the love of the Father in us, we are not his. We can confess, declare all we want. But if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. It's that simple. But what are these treasures that Jesus says we are to lay up in heaven? That moth and rust and decay cannot touch. They certainly aren't money. They certainly aren't material goods, which all are perishable and which we will never take with us. What are they? Love is the greatest of those treasures. It is love that compels us. It is love that has saved us. And it is love who lives in us. For the Father poured out His very love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is the greatest treasure we can give and that we've been given. How do we demonstrate that love? How do we lay up those treasures in heaven? If we are His storehouse of treasures, if we are that receptacle of valuables, what is it within us that we can give to others that treasures in heaven may be laid up? Sometimes we have these grandiose ideas that it must be some major ministry or major display or demonstration of God's power. But that is not always the case. What happens? What does he say? "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me." Whether it is giving water to a thirsty child, whether it is talking to a teenager who's disheveled on the street, perhaps praying for them, perhaps listening to their story, and letting them know the good news of Jesus Christ. Perhaps when you see someone in line who doesn't have enough money to pay for their groceries, you slip them that extra amount. Or you slip it to the checkout person. So their needs are covered. We don't have to make a great splash to store up treasures in heaven. We just have to be His and be obedient. It really is that simple. To Him, we are His treasure here on earth. And if we are a storehouse filled with His peace, His joy, His righteousness through the Holy Ghost, how much do we have to give? Jesus Christ will return. He will return for His bride. He will return to this earth to rule and reign. Are we ready? And that readiness isn't just about getting ourselves cleaned up. That's something that the Holy Spirit does, and we need to yield to that sanctification. But besides that, what are we doing? What are our lives about in the meantime, before He comes? Is it about our complacency, our feeling comfortable? Or is it about stretching ourselves in such a way that we really need faith to do what He's asking us to do? Our faith is such a great treasure. It is what motivates us to think beyond our small little four walls and our own particular comfort. It is what brought us to a living relationship with God Almighty. Our faith is a grand treasure. Without it, not only can we not please God, without it, we cannot accomplish anything for Him or through Him. Faith is the fuel in our treasure house. And sometimes He will ask us to do things that make no sense, that may even embarrass us. He doesn't intentionally embarrass us or seek that. But because we like our comfort, it is embarrassing. Just in general daily life, whether people are believers or unbelievers, anyone making an extra noise or starting a little bit of a commotion or saying something that is considered not the norm, we don't want to be a part of that because we don't want to be looked at. But we are to be people of faith. We should be looked at all the time for what we do. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, not because of ourselves and how wonderful we are, but how wonderful He is in us. I just recall recently something that He urged me to do, and it's a simple thing, and this is not a pattern, everyone go out and do this. This is something He called me to do. We were at a pizza place, and it was a specials night where everything was $5. Or particular pizzas were. So, you know, the whole community came out, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people wanted their $5 pizza. And these people weren't poor. They weren't desperate. But everyone was waiting, and the place was completely packed, overflowing. It got to the point where people were starting to get almost aggressive, certainly a bit rude because they'd been waiting and waiting for the pizza a lot longer than the estimated time. And at one point, I just called out, and I was way in the back of the shop, to all these young workers. These were teens. These were young kids, and maybe the oldest would have been 19 or 20. And I just said, "You guys are doing a great job." And everybody started to laugh. And it just stopped that buildup of tension. And then we were waiting longer and longer. We ended up waiting 2 hours for our particular pizza. I didn't even want the pizza at that point. But I didn't want to be a part of that negativity, a part of people being grouchy and curt. So in between waiting for the next half, we kept being told another half hour. I went back home because it was very close by. And we had these little sour bears, these lovely little lollies, they call them here, candies, the gushy bears, gummy bears, I think they are in America, but they're sour ones, and they're quite cute and have dusted with lots of sugar. And I wrap them up in silverish blue paper and put little curling ribbon around them. And I think there were 11 people working there. And I rushed to put them all together and put little ribbons around them and put them on a platter and brought them back to the pizza place. And some of the customers said, "Oh, are those for us?" And I said, "No." And I went and I gave them to one of the young girls and I said, "Please give everyone one of these because God loves you and you're working so hard, and be blessed." And it wasn't, "Oh, look at Jesse, isn't she a wonderful person?" It was because of his heart. It was because of who he's made me to be. I wouldn't have done that in the past. I would have been just as irritated as every other person in there. Where's my pizza? And that's who we are. We're the light and salt of this world, he said. And it's because of what he makes us to be, how he carves us out, including our selfishness. He wants to dig that out of us. If we're not going to let it go, he'll dig it out because we're his children and we're to look like him. He tells us to store up those treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And from the heart comes love. And if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. This means, as Jesus said, we would be persecuted because we're not better than our master, Jesus Christ. We will be persecuted for his name's sake. If we love the world and we want to please the world, they'll love us. You can see it in all the popular media. All these people, quote unquote, loved. It's not truly love, because as soon as they're out of the limelight, or as soon as they make one mistake, everyone's condemning them. So it's not love at all. It's just the flesh, the lust of the flesh. It's temporary affection. He wants us to actually love as the Father loves. Not to prove we're a better Christian than the next one, but because we belong to God. We are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. And we as Christians need to know that and live that out. Have a living faith. Touch those in our workplaces. Speak to those in the streets or in the gas station or wherever it is we happen to find ourselves, or when the workman or tradesman comes over. Share with them the good news, how he tells us to, when he tells us to, but not to use an excuse of, "Well, I didn't feel like it then. I don't think it was right." There are times when he does say, "Hold back. This person's either not ready." Or perhaps you're waiting for the next time and you get to know them a little bit more. There's certain people that need that. There's other people, you may never see them again. This is your time to share him. And not to worry about you do it perfectly. Please, he's saying, I feel it in my heart. Holy Spirit's saying, stop trying to be perfect and let me be perfect in you. I know what they need, and I know who they are. I planned them before the foundation of the earth. You think I do not know how to speak to them? I'll share another incident, and I'm not doing this to tell everybody how wonderful I am. I'm doing this to show you how even a vulnerable human being who has their own issues and their own problems but belongs to Christ can touch a life. So we went to a particular event. It was a military, they call it a military meet, where they do a live version, they call it living history, and they do some scenes from different periods of war. And because my son is an avid World War II historian and knows everything about it, far more than I ever learned in school, I took him. Now, while we were there, there were dozens and dozens of people, and I, you know, wanted to touch everybody, as is my heart, but I also sometimes feel embarrassed as well, or I'm not sure, is this one or that one? So I just said, "Holy Spirit, I'm just going to let you flow. You lead me, you set it up, you arrange it. I don't want to be in charge here. Try to prove anything." We have to be careful about this. Sometimes we can get so hooked up in this idea of demonstrating his love, quote unquote, but we're actually demonstrating how good we are or how productive we are, that we're doers of the word. We mustn't do that. That is not laying up treasures in heaven. That is laying up treasures on earth for man to see. And the only way we can avoid that is yield, be honest with the Holy Spirit, tell him to cleanse us of that desire to be seen and patted on the back, and allow him to have his way. So there were many, many, many people, but there were a few that he had me really interact with. And the last one was the most profound. And it was a woman who definitely wasn't a believer. We chatted a bit, and as we chatted, she started talking about her grandson, who was 16 and had what she believed was autism and even Asperger's. And he was going to be tested, but he had a lot of difficulty in relating to other people, not just his peers, but anyone, in having the emotional cues, the social cues that we all seem to develop, even as toddlers. He didn't have that. And she was admiring how my son was interacting. And we talked. I asked for his name, and I said I would pray for him. And she immediately was touched that I'd even ask. And then I took her hand because we were going to say our goodbyes. And as I took her hand, the Holy Spirit flooded me with her pain. And I had such compassion. And I even said to her, I can feel your burden. It's so heavy. And that I wanted to pray for her, but there were heaps of people milling around discussing, you know, everything from Willie's Jeeps to World War II to politics. And it just was not appropriate. So I said goodbye, but I knew he had more to say to her. And I have found one of the best ways that he's given me is to write something in a card, something that he says, not something I think I should say or that he would say. So I rushed into this little pavilion. There was only one stall that was selling cards, and they happened to be either Disney cards or cards that were of these fairy tale characters. But there was one, this one of the Ugly Duckling, that was so sweet, and I knew that was the one. I opened it up, and I wrote what he told me to write, and he said something to the effect of that she, you know, he called her dear woman, and he said that she was a blessing to her grandson, and that what she was doing was helping him, that seemed to be an ugly duckling, become the beautiful swan. And then I wrote something on the other side, that her burden would be lifted, she would take up his easy yoke. Now, she didn't believe. And I did not preach the gospel directly to her in that time frame and in that place. But I prayed upon what I had written, and I gave her the card. And she was so touched. And she said, oh, you're so special. And I always want to make sure, because we can get caught up in that, and we love it. The flesh loves to be called special and wonderful. And I said to her very loudly, I had to call across this paddock, or half a paddock, I said, no, he's special in me, and that's why I'm this way. And then we went off and said our goodbyes. And I felt, in a way, disappointed that I hadn't said the direct gospel of what Jesus really did and how she could receive him. But I felt Holy Spirit encourage me and remind me that I am planting seeds. Wherever I go, seeds for faith, seeds for his kingdom, seeds for the king to gather and reap when they bear fruit. And that if someone else may come along and speak to that woman, and I've even prayed for her to know him, to have a living faith, to come to the living God, and that his work will be finished and she will receive. We don't know how he wants to touch people. All we have to do is be his treasures on earth, that treasures in heaven can be laid up for him.